The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 174. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Omaewa, Shinjiru.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up?
Brian Manjoma.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Brett Murdoch.
Do you know the way?
And we have a very special guest with us, Mr. Robert Workman.
Smash!
You know, Robert, our good friend who doesn't... Oh, there's Adam. I just remembered Adam. I didn't send you the fucking link.
I was like,
Robert, who we love despite the fact that he doesn't know what a retro game is.
I'm old! I'm not going to have this argument with you
again. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm old! I don't want to talk about it. I gotta go to bed soon. Hurry the fuck up.
Oh, man. Anyway, Robert, man, I want to congratulate you on 100 episodes of the ARG podcast, and you actually had me on last night. We had a lot of fun, man.
Nice. It's just called the ARG podcast. I don't know what ARG is.
I call it ARG. I'm like, what does ARG stand for?
Do you also say AT-ATs or AT-ATs? Just wondering.
I say AT-ATs.
Yeah, they're AT-ATs. So just, yeah. It's the ARG podcast.
Although I did originally call them AT-ATs.
I called them AT-ATs.
Yeah.
They're AT-ATs.
Either way, my congratulations are heartfelt.
Thank you. I'll accept the congratulations.
If they're AT-ATs, what do you call AT-STs?
ATS.
That's...
Fuck off. That's what I call them.
I can't argue with that, Brett. Also, I want to give a public apology to your fan, Nick, who I kept throwing under the bus consistently last
year. Yeah. We had like a vote off for the best games of all time and everything like that. We had like a 5-person setup here, and we kept getting the 2-2 ties, and poor Nick had to do all these tiebreakers. Like, what's the better game of all time, GoldenEye or NBA Jam? And he's sitting there crying himself into a corner, you know. So, sorry, Nick. It's David's fault, if that helps him.
Yeah. By the way, I saw pictures of this guy. Yeah, he could kick all of our asses if he wanted to. The guy looks like fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger from Conan the Destroyer. It's crazy, man.
Except dressed in Mario garb.
He's like, Luigi, what is best in life?
Did you hit me with a turtle shell? You're going down.
Yeah. But yeah, Robert, man, thank you for being on time. We're going to have a lot of fun, dude.
Yeah, it's gonna be. You're making it sound like I'm leaving.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He doesn't need a retro, but he could go.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I also want to give a shout out to Elite Prophet, who did hit me up, and I will be sending out his Dissidia Ultimate Final Fantasy Collector's Edition out tomorrow, man.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah. Very good. Finally get to enjoy some Dissidia.
Yeah, but again, how I found it was interesting because, like, I told him, like, hit me up on the back end of the channel or email me. He didn't do either of those things, so I just replied to him in the actual, in the thread, and that's when he got back to me. I'm like, yo, bro, where you at? You want your shit or not? I'm about to give it to somebody. When he heard that, he was like, oh, shit, I want it.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, man. All right, so we got some news here to talk about. Now, the biggest news of the day, by the way, all the stories that I have here literally all dropped today. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
This morning, it's been madness.
It's been insane. But, you know, just behind some behind-the-scenes stuff. The real main topic should have been Nintendo Direct Switch, but it's actually the second topic because you guys don't seem to like Nintendo that much. You like hearing Microsoft shit, so that's going to be our main topic. So today, this report came out, very interesting. I believe it was from Game Industry Biz, saying that Switch is expected to overtake Xbox One 2018. Now, before we move on, I need to state that does it mean overtake in sales? It means in terms of revenue. Because in 2017, Nintendo brought in about $8 billion, all Nintendo services, and Xbox services brought in $10 billion. This year, it's expected to be $11 billion Nintendo, 9 billion Xbox. So I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. And I also have some other things I want to throw in there as well. But Robert, since you're actually, yeah, let's let Robert go first. He's a guest. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Hold on, yeah. Real quick. I just want to ask: didn't they also say something about overtaking Xbox's market share within the next year? Or was that just people reporting on it?
That's impossible.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, here's the thing. Xbox One's install base is still impressive and everything like that. But let's take a look here. Last year, Microsoft probably had one of its worst years because they'd had to delay Crackdown. They put all these hopes into Xbox One X, and not everybody bought into it. And their big exclusive was Forza Motorsport 7. You know, so while that was happening, Nintendo was – they beat the Wii U's lifetime sales in less than 1 year with the Nintendo Switch. They had Super Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 2, Legend of Zelda. I mean, we were just talking on the show and everything about how quickly Super Mario Odyssey managed to come out within the Switch's first year and still kept up that momentum. And, you know, right now, Nintendo is in this position where they're not going to lose momentum. All these announcements were made today with games, and I'm sure we'll get into this, but, you know, like stuff like Smash, Metroid Prime, Bayonetta are going to keep people buying the system. Whereas Microsoft, they're playing a game of catch-up. They're trying to get all this stuff set up for E3 announcements, everything. Like right now, all they have is what? Sea of Thieves and State of Decay 2 and everything like that. Nintendo's like, here's Kirby and here's Smash, you know, and all this stuff. So I think it's a matter of Microsoft is now in a game of catch-up because they had to make all these decisions and they didn't have a good backup plan canceling Scalebound. But, you know, it's they're struggling. You know, I mean, they're still doing okay and everything like that, but they put all their hopes into the wrong basket instead of actually making the games that the people wanted. And now I think they're finally realizing those games are happening. But by that point, Nintendo's got such a lead, they may not be able to be caught. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a power shift. Nintendo's on fire right now. The only thing that'll really stop them is if it's like the Switch developed an AI and like Alexa laughed at us every time we tried to turn it on and play the freaking system. So, you know, I think, yeah, Nintendo's in a key position to take a second place spot. I mean, they won't beat Sony, but they will definitely get back in the lead.
Yeah, I mean, I think this right here, this announcement is indicative of what we're going to see in the next couple of years, right? Like, Nintendo's going to make more money than Xbox, which will inevitably mean that Switch is going to outsell the Xbox. You know, I kind of talked about this on a previous episode. Basically, you had the Xbox, they sold roughly 9 million last year, right? And they've pretty much sold 9 million every year. Nintendo sold 14 million last year. This year, they're expected to sell maybe that number, probably more than that. You keep that going by the end of this generation, which is probably going to be, I'm not, you know, and generations don't end when a new generation begins, by the way. Generation is probably going to end 2023. Switch is going to overtake it for sure. It's crazy to think about that. Think about it. Switch is the least powerful console out there, and it's just selling like gangbusters, you know?
Oh, it is. I mean, the accessibility is way better than the Wii U. It's not nearly the odd duck that the Wii U was. And we're starting to see all the software between the new games that are coming out and the ports from the Wii U, which are actually highly effective. You know, people want Bayonetta 1 and 2. They want Captain Toad. You know, they want stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because it's kind of like they had to do a redo. You know, they literally just rebranded themselves, put out the thing that essentially everybody thought.
Nintendo took a mulligan?
Yeah, they did. They took a mulligan. They literally went back and put out the thing that everybody thought the Wii U was going to be.
I mean, that's exactly right. I just love the idea of them sort of being like, all right, guys, sorry, our bad. We're going to take a mulligan on this one. Give us a year. We're going to come back with something better. What you want? What do they want? Yeah. We're going to write down what you want. We'll get back to you.
It's literally pretty much all of those things. It's exactly what you kind of thought that the Wii U was going to be. And then the other thing is that, like, now that, you know, okay, granted, all those games did pretty well on the Wii U, like Captain Toad and, you know, Mario Kart and all those games. You put those on, you have all those on there, right? And, you know, now you essentially have a whole new audience that didn't play these games. And they're like, all right, throw that on there.
Well, and to those listening, if I sound ignorant as fuck, it's because I haven't seen the Nintendo Direct. I'm intentionally coming into this blind. So the following statement may seem idiotic to some of you. If Nintendo releases games that people want to see or that people are excited about, it's definitely going to continue to drive sales. Not just drive sales, but spike sales again. And keeping the Switch in not the Wii, excuse me, keeping the Switch as one of those high profile in demand things is going to help keep it in the public eye and help to drive those sales even more. So you kind of have this weird domino effect where all they need to do is announce this, you know, highly anticipated game or fan favorite, and the sales spike up again. And it's going to do the same thing when they announce the virtual console. It's, you're going to have a run on Switches.
Well, Brett, majority of what they mentioned were ports in this one. And then some of the ones that, especially like the Luigi Mansion one, that's going to 3DS. It's not even coming to Switch.
There's a huge, and the adage of it may not be new, but it's new to me applies a lot to the Switch because it had a very small install base during its last generation. It has enough games now, or high profile games, that it got people to play it. It didn't have the same stumblings as its predecessor, but it does take a lot of those games that were missed out on a lot.
But my main concern with it, and we've already seen it, and it's only been the first year, is how you hear all these third-party developers, especially like 2K with the sports series and stuff, talking about how we're pushing the limits of the Switch, and that's why we also, with the space, and you need the memory card, we're doing everything. That's great, but that's year one. You're telling us you're pushing it to the limit in year one of this device. So what's going to happen in year two? Is it going to be the same thing because it can't support the new engine or whatever features you're adding? Or the file sizes going to be larger?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Get a larger memory card to support that title?
Yeah, they've already said they're working on a 64 gig memory card. And that's supposed to be, or not memory card, but cartridge size. So we'll be able to handle those without the additional download. That's probably the biggest hindrance in the Switch right now, is that memory is a pain in the ass for digital games. Other than that, though, it's nailing everything else.
And I want to say that most consoles, or most games, max out their consoles. They use up most of the available power, at least big AAA games do. It then becomes a question as the generation progresses on about how to efficiently utilize those tools, as opposed to just, you know, throwing a bunch of garbage code at it. You know,
no, not this generation, man. You got your half steps now. You got your X's, pros.
When PS4 came out. So when you're saying when PS4 came out, like, no, like Black Flag, for instance, even the PS4 version, it didn't use all of the PS4's power. It didn't push it to, quote unquote, its limits.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag? No, that's a last gen game.
Yeah, but it was running on PS4. It was
ported over. I don't think.
Yeah, it was ported over. They cranked up the graphics and they said this is as much as the PS4 can handle. It's maxed out.
I don't trust Ubisoft to make that assessment.
Yeah, that's
sounds like more half marketing and half programming mixed together to have a half truth. There's things that do push PS4 to its limits. I would say Uncharted 4 would do a better job at that than Black Flag.
My point is the quote to its limits is kind of a weird arbitrary point to say. Like, you can utilize, like, Minecraft can push a computer to its fucking limits, but that doesn't mean it's mostly because Minecraft is coded really sloppily too. Like, I think
the best example from what you're coming from, what I'm thinking of, is like The Last of Us for PS3. That was nothing that looked like that throughout the whole entire lifespan of PS3, and then The Last of Us comes out, I'm like,
you're just picking out the best ones though.
No, I'm not picking anything up. That was the last, toward the end of that generation. And come on now.
Y'all are calling Naughty Dog games. Naughty Dog is known to be one of the most, one of the best and most efficient developers for the console they're on. What I'm saying is, you're telling me there wasn't a shitty looking game that still lagged out at 30 frames per second?
There were tons.
That's my point. Those ones are technically pushing the limits of the console. It doesn't mean that they're actually pushing.
All right, we're kind of getting off track here. Chris, getting here. What are your thoughts about Nintendo overtaking Xbox?
That partially falls on Microsoft's inability to capitalize on anything in the last year and a half. Like, they put out a half gen refresh without any games to play on it. They've canceled titles without much logic, and so this was theirs to lose. And now these races aren't decided day by day or title by title. It takes months for tides to turn, and Nintendo has been doing surprisingly well, and they've continue to do impressive things, and while Microsoft has been doing puzzling things, and even to the point of what the fuck are you doing? Like Crackdown, it was half-assed last year, and they had to delay it. They canceled Scalebound, they canceled Fable, they canceled something else. They shuttered the doors of Lionhead. Like it just did. Like they made decisions that didn't make any sense. It's like that's what you needed was the titles. You didn't need a half-gen refresh.
Exactly, and they spent like half their E3 press conference. Well, this hardware has 6 teraflops, and also 6 teraflops. You know, it's important to have teraflops. I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck is a teraflop?
Yeah, yeah. And then you know, the thing is, yeah, you have all this power, but there's no killer app to actually show it. Yes, you can show a bunch of older games, but nobody cares really that much about older games. They're not good. I mean, yes, they could. You could definitely maybe cause a spike in sales again on some of those older titles, but really, what is that game that says, oh, okay, this is what you play on it? And to be honest, both Pro and Xbox had that issue where there wasn't anything at the time that really just said, okay, this is what we're playing.
Dude, their biggest exclusive in a while is a game that is pretty much going to run exactly the same exactly. On both of their versions.
Cuphead will look. Doesn't matter what Cuphead would be on; it'll look pretty much exactly the same on anything you run it on.
Now there are some exceptions to the rule, like Shadow of the Colossus for PlayStation 4. That actually does take advantage of the Pro because that thing looks pretty damn sick running at 60 frames per second.
Yeah,
but for the most part, though, it's mostly about expanding a resolution or something so they don't look like fuzzy sprites. But even then, not every game is guaranteed to take advantage of that.
But even then, where's the Xbox exclusive that takes advantage of the full Scorpio power? You know, like where
Gears does that.
Mm-hmm.
Gears 4 does that.
Does it up? Does it really?
Well, here's the thing. Again, it's an older game. Yeah. Like, where is that? Like, in other words, the way these things got to work is that you got to have something in there and just be like, this is the example of what the future or what this thing can do. And being that they didn't, being that a lot of their games got delayed or a lot of the games got canceled, that stable point right there was bolstered. You know, in other words, it's like okay, I could see the difference, but what is this? What are we seeing? You know, what is that? What is that thing that makes us say, okay, this is why you should own the Scorpio? Yeah. To be honest, I also felt at least with the Scorpio, and this is also what Nintendo kind of did. They released essentially the same thing, just better. And I feel like, you know, a lot of that old Xbox One adage of, you know, always online, all that other bullshit, they probably should have changed the name of that Xbox to Scorpio. They should have never kept the one.
Yeah, I think that was kind of a bad thing. But here's the problem that I see with hardware developers being where they are now. They need to make games that make use of the core hardware, in this case, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. But they also want, at the same time, the Xbox One X, the PlayStation 4 Pro to benefit. So now the developers are facing this mounting task of pleasing everybody. Like they want to take the most advantage of this hardware, this next gen hardware that we have. By the same token, if they shut out PlayStation 4 and Xbox One users, it's going to hinder your sales. It's going to leave.
Oh yeah, because that's where the base models. That's where the money gets made. Mm-hmm. The super PlayStation and the Ultra Xbox. They're like a side quest. You know, if you have the money, yeah, you can buy those. Or if you're just like, you know, strapped for cash or whatever, you buy the base model.
But the problem is they're pushing something like Sea of Thieves, right? And that literally has no available option to upscale and look much better on their premium console.
Not to mention, in fact, you can get it for free through their Game Pass anyway. So
yeah, that's
but just not the multiplayer part. That's something that a lot of people don't know. Unless they have gold, they can't do the multiplayer.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's that's true.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about that, but yeah, man, this whole development is just very interesting to me. It's like, and again, for you guys just joining us in the chat now, we're not talking about Switch overtaking Xbox in terms of a system sold. That's not going to happen this year in terms of revenue, but it's still letting you know what's going on.
But what about
know?
The revenue for Xbox Live? I mean, $60, when they had like 30-something million subscribers, that has to bring in a good chunk per year.
Oh, yeah, it does. And this thing takes that into account. You know,
Yeah, it's because the whole thing with this article is that it's using, like, it's kind of not fair in my opinion, because it's really just getting everything Nintendo does, like 3DS and those classic machines and the Switch and stuff like that. Microsoft is just the Xbox One, pretty much.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and then to be honest, the classic machines are kind of like a moot point. Those are for 2017. Like, they're not. I mean, they did good at the time, you know, when they were out, but they were all limited. It's not a continuous revenue. They don't always have Nintendo those Nintendo classics in the stores.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because we don't know if they're going to release the N64 classic this year, or any of the classics, or retro console or virtual console, or their lives. Well, I mean, they're releasing their online services, but how much is that going to contribute? How many people are going to sign up for that? So there's still a lot of variables going on that,
and again, they're still not talking about any sort of online.
They're talking about
games that have the ability to go online, but as soon as they drop whatever their new online strategy is, are they gonna tell everybody, well, you know, Splatoon and all this other shit, you got to pay for that in order to get online? Or are they gonna go with the PlayStation 3 model, where it's like, it's all free, but you get, if you subscribe to us, you get free games?
Well, two things real quick. Number one, E3 seems like the most likely place that they will talk about their online networks, because people could come in and try it out, or they could set up demo stations around or whatever. It'd be a more ideal place than just announcing it in March and be like, okay, how can we try it out and test its stability and everything like that? And plus, they also got to do latency tests and all that. They're probably going to announce like a network test or whatever it is. And then number two, their pricing model is a piece of cake compared to Xbox Live. Like, Xbox Live, we're paying what, $60 a year? Nintendo Online, they're only charging what, 10?
Yeah, it's really affordable.
It is really affordable. They're not trying to nickel and dime us. But then again, you know, you may get what you pay for, because you all got to remember Splatoon 2 chat solution, which is not a solution. It's a further hindrance.
Well, I may also think that, you know, that Nintendo also kind of understands the, you know, that they don't need to be that, you know, the ultra advanced thing. And it even goes to their consoles. I mean, like, their consoles are always a generation or two behind.
Mm-hmm. It took forever to get HDMI, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
And even now, the Switch is barely doing 1080p.
The Switch is barely catching up to the Dreamcast.
But if you play Smash Brothers in a 4K TV, it still looks freaking ridiculously good. Same with Mario Odyssey. It's a matter of they're taking advantage of 1080 the best they can with their internal teams. It's just a matter of making sure third parties can help keep up. And, you know, with some of these indie games, they really are. Like Celeste is one of the best games I've played on it so far. It's so good and so damn hard. I keep dying thousands of deaths.
Oh, no. Why don't you turn on cheat codes like hip hop, man?
Because I'm not hip hop. Oh, I wish to suffer.
God, I will never let that man, you know, I'm never going to let that go, man. He's cheating Yakuza now. It's like, what are you doing, man? Anyway, yeah, man.
All that money that he had on there,
man? Yeah, like 99 billion yen. Yep. I'm like, no, dude.
Oh, man, Celeste is a cakewalk. Watch. Boom.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, again, going back to the X services, the article did state that they believe that Nintendo's online is going to generate more revenue, and they also believe that, you know, in general, people are going to spend less on both PlayStation and Xbox this year, because the two systems are kind of in their twilight years right now. So, you know, you get it, and the Nintendo Switch is still on the rise, you know.
So the article said that the online services is going to do better, is going to just
not
online
better
services.
They didn't say it's going to do better, so it's going to help Nintendo make more money this year.
Okay. I understood you wrong then. I thought you said that the online services for Nintendo are going to sell more.
Not that. No. Just that it's going to help Nintendo make more money. So, like Manny was talking about, the classic systems, they may not be around this year, but it could be offset by the online service, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I think Nintendo's going to do fine. I mean, the question is their online service going to be ready? But they're probably going to do rigorous testing with a bunch of their games just to make sure. And they're probably not going to screw anybody over, like, say, like Sony or what is it, Microsoft's or Sony's continuous outages or whatever like that. They've usually been dependable online for the most part. So
Nintendo, I mean, dependable online?
Well, compared, well, without voice chat, yeah. They don't really have outages like, say, Sony or Microsoft.
Yeah, that is true.
I feel like it. I mean, yeah, they don't really have outages, but I mean, a a lot of their online in general has been kind of lousy for a lot of their
games. For random matches, sure. If you're trying to match up with friends, yeah, then it sucks. I'm not saying it doesn't need improvement. I'm just saying it doesn't have outages like, say, Sony's down for 6 hours when I'm trying to play Overwatch.
Now, the one thing I want to bring up is, on a personal note, where the fuck is Virtual Console? But on a more public note, where the fuck is Virtual Console?
Virtual Console is coming this year, man.
It's coming this year.
Fucking better, because I know it's not just me, but I know that there's rumblings in the community and even among some developers where there's like, dude, what the fuck? This was promised to us when you launched the system. It's getting a little ridiculous now. If they don't actually deliver it this year, if they push it back to next year, they're actually due for some bad PR.
It's connected. You know good and damn well it's connected to their online service.
Exactly.
So whenever they get their shit together and figure out how online works.
How does the internet work?
Not in a rush for it. I mean, like you said, all these other games are selling.
Yeah, everything's like, selling. So, but I mean, the thing is,
why jump in on that?
I think when we start hearing about the online service, I feel like definitely that is when we start hearing about the actual Virtual Console. Think about it. They got whatever they have to do. They probably have to develop some sort of stupid emulator or whatever how to get these damn games working again.
They got to figure out.
It's a matter of introducing retro games the right way compared to the wrong way. I mean, I don't want a half-assed port like Secret of Mana or the fucking mobile version of Chrono Trigger on Steam. I want the actual classic games, and I will wait for them if I have to.
Classic games like Super Mario Galaxy, Robert.
You know what?
I'm gonna keep giving this man shit about that.
When I see you at PAX East, I'm gonna knock you down some stairs.
Oh man.
Classic game.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm old, okay? When you get over 40, you're gonna be everything's old.
Yeah. So Manny, are you saying that Nintendo needs to figure out how the series of tubes works first?
Yeah, they need to figure out they've only barely scratched the surface of the online world, and it can easily turn into a pile of shit. So I'm even when they announced it back when they said they're like, oh yeah, we're going to have the online available at this point in time. Everybody in here was just like, yeah, right. You've never been in this world before. Most of your games are peer to peer sorts of games. So yeah, no.
Manny, to answer your question regarding the Virtual Console, the reason why they haven't said anything about on it is because they're just keeping it in their pocket when they need it.
Oh yeah. There's also that too.
And I think they're not gonna launch it till they milk the classic systems for all they're worth.
Yeah,
that's also a possibility too. Like they have only one more classic-y system to bring out, which is if they do a Nintendo 64. So,
well, now that's not entirely true to everybody on the panel.
Wait, what happened?
I'm just saying.
Oh, you mean the GameCube, the classic GameCube, and the classic Wii?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. The classic Wii.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm done. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
I'm the Danny Glover of the pine. I'm the Danny Glover. Oh man, 5 more days to retirement.
Yeah. By the way, Robert, do me a favor. Throw me down the stairs after I've bought you guys several drinks.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're gonna get your drinks for it. To be like, hey Tony, come here. You gotta see this. Yeah.
And then
it's a staircase.
Exactly. And then I'll be like, how did I get down here? I must have drunkenly fell down.
Okay. Let me tell you how unreliable Tony is. It's real. Quick. Oh, we're at PlayStation Experience. He's like, yeah, I'll try out this Italian restaurant for dinner. And then makes me and Andre wait for like an hour on him. And then he's like, you know what? It's too far, man. It was 2 miles away from the convention center. Can't take an Uber.
You guys told us it was right. It was like 10 minutes away. We were like,
it is 10 minutes away by car.
We were walking for half an hour. It's like, what the fuck? And when we figured out it was 2 hours, 2 miles away, we're like, man, fuck this shit.
You know what? Yeah, way to give up on us. Reliable Tony, everybody. Reliable Tony.
Hey, man, I bought you a drink. We're good.
You're buying some more.
You break it, you buy it.
Anyway. So in this case, they'll buy it, and then I'll break him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, let's move on to the topic we all really want to talk about, the Nintendo Direct. Now, we knew this thing was coming, and I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was going to be another Direct where basically Nintendo fans would get all hyped up, and it would really wouldn't show anything. They actually show some shit. So Robert, why don't you start us off? What did you what like piqued your interest the most from this direct?
You know what? Everything. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, man. I mean, everybody's talking about Smash, obviously. You know, some people think it might be announced a little bit too soon, but I'll tell you, I mean, just the sheer announcement of it. I mean, I posted the video from Nintendo New York. These fans are watching it and everything like that, and they're freaking the hell out. And, you know, they're jumping up now. Somebody fainted over Smash.
Oh, my God, what the fuck?
Look it up. I mean, somebody fainted. They're fainting.
Was it Triforce that fainted?
Yeah, Triforce. Yeah, it's Triforce that fainted.
Man, I didn't know people got so excited
what
for
the hell
I don't get it. I don't get it.
They did the same thing when Ninja Turtles were announced for Injustice 2.
Oh, it seems so basic. I don't get it. I've never did.
I think it's cool that they're bringing a Smash, but you know, as Robert said, I feel like it's not that it's too quick or whatever, but it just seems like there was nothing. Like there's not, all we see is a trailer. Like, what is it exactly? And that was the part when I saw. I was like, okay, I'm like, we're seeing Splatoon characters. I'm guessing this is the Smash trailer because why would they show more of this stuff?
Yeah.
So I was like, at this first part of like, okay, yeah, nice. We're seeing this, but so what is this? Did they get Sakurai back again to do it again because he's kind of reluctant on the last one? Is this a port of the previous one with new Mario and new Link in it?
I was going to mention, can we do a poll and see who thinks this is a port and who thinks this is?
And you got to do it in your Japanese voice. Oh, we don't know what it is.
You must know what Sakurai has created.
What we make? Yeah. You think it's port 3?
That's not racist.
Yeah. Okay, Manny, go ahead. Do your Sakurai.
Sakurai has come from the grave to reinitiate.
You're crazy.
To reinitiate Super Smash Brothers.
Is Sakurai still alive? He's alive.
I don't know where he goes. Yeah. You know, he kind of. I feel like he just comes out of a crypt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I still can't get over the fact somebody fainted over Smash Brothers.
Oh man. Oh, dude, it's Triforce. I think it was. How you think about it? It is Triforce.
Yeah, it was. Oh my God. These are the same guys that cry when they showed that Zelda game like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
They have other mental issues going on.
Yeah,
but that's beyond fandom.
That's almost stalkerish. That reminds me of like the Beatles. When the Beatles would come on, you see these videos of the girls crying and fainting. And
yeah, they piss themselves too. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, Adam, hold on, man.
Music was good.
Yeah, Adam, you sure you didn't faint over the Division 2? We'll talk about that later, obviously.
Oh, man. For Division 1 that they mentioned.
For that matter, Adam.
What?
Well, yeah.
You wouldn't freak out that hard over a certain wrestling show?
No, man.
You wouldn't freak out over Black Ops 1111?
No.
The greatest game of all time.
I mean, it's got to. I can't imagine. I mean, no. I don't. Shit, I really don't. I don't think. No.
See, I'm about to faint over the fact that somebody fainted over Smash. By the way, Daniel J, thank you for the super chat, man.
Thanks, Daniel.
But you know what? Let's do this for fun because Brett said a poll. Let's take a poll. How many of us here think this is a port of the Wii U game?
I think it's a port.
We're seeing a lot of it.
3DS port.
It's a combination of the 3DS port and the original Wii U version of Super Smash Brothers.
So I didn't hear Brett, so I want to hear what he thinks.
I genuinely, honestly, don't know.
They didn't show anything. They just showed the splash screen, and that's it.
Oh, they just showed the splash.
No gameplay. No.
Oh, that's right.
Nothing.
Yeah. So. So here's my opinion. They showed the Splatoon characters and they didn't really announce anything. They just showed the Splatoon characters, right? And I'm like, what the hell is this for? Mm-hmm. Is it a Splatoon DLC? Like, they already talked about Splatoon earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And and then they showed, like, they got a close-up on one of the characters and then the logo showed up in the eye of the Smash Brothers logo. So and then that's when everyone lost their shit. And then they showed, like, the silhouettes of Mario and Zelda and Link.
Zelda.
Yeah. And that was pretty much it. And it said Super Smash Brothers 2018. And That's why I think it's a port, because they're announcing that those Splatoon characters are
coming, the playable to the ones. Yeah, the playable, new playable characters. Yeah, definitely. And and maybe the Mario and the Link are just new skins that they put into the game to yeah. represent those things. Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's easier to do than develop Smash again on Switch from scratch. They're porting Wii U games left and right.
We already saw Captain Toad. We saw, you know, there's going to be a new version of Captain Toad, mm-hmm. which is probably a combination of, and it looks like it's the original game plus the plus, you know, the added levels.
Yeah, Mario Odyssey.
The newest version of Smash Brothers was the 3DS version.
Yeah, no, so they're right? probably
no. The yeah. 3DS and the Wii U version came out simultaneously.
Yeah, they did.
So it's whichever one.
It's probably the Wii U version with all the DLC characters. You know, which includes Cloud and all those other guys.
So my question is then, if it's a port, why didn't they show any gameplay or anything other than a splash screen? Why'd they give it the Metroid treatment?
We don't know if it's a port.
We don't know if it's a port.
Well, that's the thing that makes me think not a port, because if it were a port, they could throw together a sizzle reel or a teaser trailer.
Why would they give it away though?
But, E3. That's exactly. They're probably saving that thing for E3.
It has to also be running properly on the new hardware. Like whenever you port a game, it's either you put out a lie and show it running on Wii U hardware, or you put out the real thing. Now, if it's not running smoothly, then you don't want to make a sizzle reel out of a test. Like porting is not as easy as just compiling it.
No, I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying I don't put it past any game company to put. You know, I don't believe that when I see gameplay that it's actually even on that console anymore. That's something I've just come to expect. If I see, you know, something from Microsoft, it is almost definitely not running on an actual Xbox.
A lot of times at the shows, they're not even running on Xboxes or PlayStations. You know? And
that's kind of my point. So I feel like it, and I'm not saying Nintendo's smart, so they might just do the opposite, but it would be kind of dumb to drum up this much hype and then throw out just a straight port.
Why would it? I mean, the thing is, they did something pretty similar with Mario Kart, and everybody lost their minds on it.
And Skyrim. The game works. Let's be honest. Wii U and 3DS versions work incredibly well. So a port would not be the end of the world, and they're adding characters to it. They're adding the Inklings. They'll probably throw in Twin L from ARMS. They'll probably bring back the Ice Climbers. Yeah. Maybe Solid Snake. Who knows? I mean, it's going to be worth.
I'm okay with that, but weren't they pretty straightforward from the get go that the Mario Kart was Mario Kart 8?
Yeah, but it sold like hotcakes. Like that was the test.
I know it did, but they. So, but they weren't all cloak and daggers about it like this, though. They didn't just throw you a splash screen.
We're talking about the Nintendo business model. They're selling Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze for $60 when it comes out. So there's no getting around that. But it's going to sell like hotcakes because people like Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. They don't have a Wii U anymore. I mean, I do, but they don't.
I'm still going to go with it's a new game.
All right. I'm going to say that Nintendo knows for a fact they can literally put out a port and people are going to throw their panties on stage. Like they already know, man. Port.
I actually just linked you guys to a guy who lost his shit.
That's hilarious. But anyway, Chris, get in here, man. What did you think about this direct?
I thought I was interested in what they were showing. I was actually surprised at a couple of things. I was surprised they ported Luigi's Mansion from the GameCube to the 3DS.
I like that.
I guess it makes sense. Like, I mean, that game is hard as balls, but, you know, good luck with that. Play it. The 3DS still has life in it, man. The first half was all of it, and I was like, this thing had momentum right up until they spent like 20 minutes on tennis, where I was like falling asleep.
They're like, yeah, we're gonna spend a good amount of time on this tennis game,
Rockstar table tennis.
Yo, Adam would faint if they announced that shit.
You know what? Yeah, then that's it. And that's where I'm like,
wake him up, Sakurai, quick.
Yeah, get Sakurai.
The table tennis. There you go.
Sakurai has decided to create Rockstar table tennis.
But at least they put it together.
That's Adam's favorite retro game, too, by the way.
There you go.
They put it together in a way.
Another dig at Workman. I see how it is.
Yeah, they put it together in a way that that they saved the best thing for. They know, well, obviously somebody fainted, so that they succeeded in saving the best that drop for the end, the very end. So I was shocked at the Splatoon gets like a campaign, that thing mm-hmm. in the subway.
Yeah.
So they get like a campaign mode. So that's and pretty interesting.
I said in our little chat thing we had, like, is there any way we could just get the campaign part and not the other part of the game?
Well, if it's standalone DLC, you know, that would be interesting, but I doubt it.
I'll tell you what's interesting. Also, some of the third-party stuff that got announced. You guys remember years ago, Crash Bandicoot standing outside Nintendo talking shit mm-hmm. with a truck showing his game.
That's right.
This year, his games are going to show up on Nintendo Switch and Xbox One and PC.
So. Yeah, they're putting it on everything. I feel like that they're you know, one-year exclusivity on that has run out.
Exactly. But that is pretty interesting because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't this the first time we've had like a major character associated with PlayStation beyond Nintendo? Am I wrong there?
Yeah. Crash had been on the Wii, but not his original adventures.
It was those sequels that they did.
Snake was in Smash Brothers when he was still just on PlayStation.
Yep, he was, but he's not a PlayStation character.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, and what else did we also get? We also got South Park.
Which one? The Shattered Butthole, right?
Fracture Butthole. Yeah. Fracture Butthole.
Okay, cool.
The Fracture Butthole.
Tony got all... Tony fainted.
Yeah, I fainted when I saw that butthole.
And then Okami. With touch screen control. Love Okami. Yes.
Genius, though? Isn't that genius? Like, touch controls for Okami, you could draw everything yourself? That's awesome.
That's what we asked for. When the ports came out in December, we were like, why not a Nintendo Switch version where we could draw on the screen? Now we're getting it.
Yeah. I remember I wanted that. By the way, I'm going to ask a stupid question, potentially. Was Okami on Vita?
No.
Because I remember wanting...
You think everything's on Vita? Yeah.
The reason I'm asking is because I remember...
Okami was never on Vita or PSP, but it was on the Wii.
Yeah, no, the reason I'm asking is because I remember thinking, like, wouldn't it be cool if you had Okami on Vita and you could just draw on the screen? Now that dream is real. Basically, the point I'm trying to make is, like, because we've said the Switch is kind of the Vita, is what the Vita should have been. And now this game's proven that, you know? It's cool, man. It's great. I wonder what version are they going to use for this?
They'll probably use the same one that, I don't know, I'm guessing. Well, no, I mean, because
that just came out recently.
Yeah, it just came out recently, so would it be that? Yeah, will it be that? Will it be the Wii version?
No, it won't be the Wii version. No, because that's too fuzzy.
No, it's definitely the newest version of it that just came out with the motion control / touchscreen stuff.
Yeah, so it'll be fine when it comes out. So I have high hopes in that.
Hey, Robert, let me ask you a question. Like, when you play Switch, do you play it like docked or you play it in handheld?
I do a mix. Okay. I like testing it both ways because I have to review a bunch of different games. But, I mean, I love it both ways because on docked, you get to play with the Pro Controller, which is an incredible, great controller. I love it. But, you know, playing a handheld is fun, too. Only, like, certain games I can't play handheld because, like, you know, I don't think I can get into L.A. Nor much, even though it has the touchscreen stuff, because it just annoys me. I take it for fun, too.
Yeah, because for me, I like 99% of the time it's docked, because I love that the Pro Controller so much, you know. But I know some people who played almost exclusively in handheld.
I docked it once to play the FIFA 18. That shit hurt my eyes. I'm like, what is this garbage? I just disconnect. Shit, it looks so bad, and it's on the old engine too. So I should have known better. I was like, I can't play
that. Hey, Super Mario Odyssey and Mario Kart 8 look great on a TV screen.
They do. They really do, man. What else? Oh yeah, the thing that I liked most, Octopath Traveler, man. I was really that was one of the games they showed at the Nintendo Switch reveal. I'm like, what is that? I want to play that. And it's coming out July 13th. Has a really cool collector's edition. Definitely hyped about that. You know,
Kids already.
I just friggin' want Secret of Mana Collection and Dragon Quest Heroes 2 ported. Can I have those in the U.S. market, please? I've been waiting forever.
Yeah, the real Secret of Mana.
Yeah. The real one that doesn't suck, yes.
Yeah. That's probably going to be a virtual console. What else are they? Because I didn't see myself. I just saw my Twitter feed.
Sushi Strikers, I guess. That's a popular one.
Little Nightmares got ported over. It's also going to be
people were getting
Dark Souls. Dark Souls has an amiibo. The Praise of the Sun guys.
That I paid attention to. I'm like, wait, what? This motherfucker.
Whoa.
That's all their amiibo? Wait.
Praise the Sun?
Yeah, Chris already has four of those pre-ordered.
He fainted when he saw that.
Yes,
I'll play it again with you, Chris.
No More Heroes got a new gameplay trailer.
They actually got some gameplay. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. It looks pretty good. It does look pretty good. Hyrule Warriors coming May 18th.
That's port.
But it's going to be a fun port. It's going to have all the characters.
Did you say Little Nightmares is coming?
Nightmares and Undertale.
And didn't they just announce a little while ago that Hello Neighbor is going to be coming too?
No, they didn't say
sometime later this year. They announced that a while ago, but it's going to be later this year.
Those are some of the bigger Steam titles. Like,
I was big on the really good Hello Neighbor.
I did not like Hello
Neighbor. Is Hello Neighbor finished? Because as I remember, it was in beta for like forever.
It still feels like it's in beta.
That was a creepy-ass game, man.
I played Little Nightmares on PS4. That game will play perfectly on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be good, too. And, you know, Bandai Namco support, that means we're going to get a port of FighterZ somewhere down the line.
Yeah. I can see that happening.
I'm excited for that.
I am.
I mean, it's running running Unreal, what, 4? So
Switch can handle that.
They can handle it?
Yeah,
okay.
We can.
Yeah, they can handle that.
Because I haven't seen any Unreal 4 games on there.
Yeah. And then as far as 3DS, they announced WarioWare Gold in August. Some Dylan Armadillo Dead Heat Breakers racing game.
Yeah.
A port of Mario and Luigi's Bowser Inside Story and the port of Luigi's Mansion.
It's funny because the Inside Story is a semi-port because it's got new shit in it.
Uh-huh.
It's weird. Like, it still has like
a director's cut. It's a director's cut.
Director's cut, yeah.
The Luigi's Mansion was titled as a remake.
Mm-hmm, it is from the GameCube version.
It's, right. But the thing is that it doesn't really look that much different, to be honest.
Well, it's 3DS.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
No, I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, all right. It looks about the same. So, all right, good. Good.
And the every time we get a direct, and I always have to mention this, I told you guys, 3DS ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
man.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. No, they're not going to go anywhere. As long as that thing keeps making money, they're going to keep that thing around.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
People still buy it.
It's not a Wii U, so it's going to be fine.
Like I said, viability is if it's more than 20% of your revenue, then it's viable. So
It's the same. That's exactly what happened with Sony and PlayStation 2. They were still playing both sides on that thing.
Yeah, how many E3s did we get PS2 like right next to PS3?
Yeah, like,
it was ridiculous.
And like, yeah, that in fact that when the PlayStation 3 was doing shitty, the PlayStation 2 was still beating it. So
yeah, 3DS ain't going anywhere, people. It ain't going anywhere, you know. I know. Yeah.
They're gonna actually, I don't know, who knows? They could probably find a way to connect the 3DS to the Switch. They're introducing a new USB port. And it could probably take Donkey Kong bongos for some damn reason.
Right, there you go. There you go.
No, they're gonna do that cockamamie thing like they do with the headset where it's like a series of chat solutions. Their chat solution.
Their fucking chat solution.
Oh my god. Yeah, they need to do something about that. Like, okay, for Splatoon, I get it. It's like, okay, the game has squids and this peripheral looks squid like with all those tentacles.
Oh, but you tried to do something like Payday 2 and fuck no.
No, fuck that. They need to do something else, man. But yeah, it was actually a pretty good. I mean, we covered it all pretty much. It was a good direct, man.
It was.
And I think it should do well, at least, you know, because these games are coming out within the next 3 months or so, something like that. So yeah, because we were worried, like, what the fuck is going to be on Switch this year? So this gives us a pretty good indicator of what's coming. And I'm going to tell you this right now. You know, even though we have actually made fun of this, I guarantee you those ports are going to keep that system selling, man. Because now everybody that wanted to play those games on Wii U are going to play it on Switch.
Yeah, I mean, the Bayonetta ports are pretty amazing. There's some people complaining, oh, they're in only 720p. I'm like, dude, they look friggin' amazing on the go and on your Switch. Shut up.
Yeah, like, why are you complaining? Did you play Bayonetta 2? No, you didn't. Shut up and play it on Switch.
Play it on Switch and shut your face hole.
In general, they run better than they did on the Wii U, which is good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's awesome that they just put it out there. I'm sure a lot of people are still pissed that 2 hasn't come out on anything else, but that's not.
I'm happy it's on Switch. Although, by the way, I've had the game for like 2 weeks, but I haven't played it because you know what I've been playing, guys. You know what I've been playing.
Tetris. Yeah. You've been playing Tetris.
I've been playing Tetris. Tetris on Game Boy is the greatest game of all time. The one that should have won last night, Robert.
Oh, shut the fuck up! You didn't even vote for it. Okay.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing there,
Tony? Yeah, it's Monster Hunter, man. It's just taking over my life. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, last night, Robert, should I spoil with one or should I? Actually, you know what, watch.
Well, you might as well.
Yeah, it was to my surprise, NBA Jam won the best retro game of all time for us. Even we were surprised.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing. We went up against GoldenEye. We had Link to the Past in there, and David wouldn't stop defending that. But somehow NBA Jam eked its way out because Tony thought, I guess you could play a Sub-Zero or something, or you know. Whatever.
Well, you could in one of the one. Yeah, it was. It came down to Smash Brothers. And
Puzzle Fighter.
Puzzle Fighter. And then I wanted Puzzle Fighter to win, but you know,
there was no Blades of Steel.
No,
we pitted that against NBA Jam, and we voted.
I'm telling you, that was badass. It was a hockey game and a straight up fight game.
I'm just kicking myself. Oh, man. We didn't include Grand Theft Auto 3, and I'm kicking myself. I'm trying to figure out what the hell we didn't, because that's an amazing
game. We needed a room for the kamikaze squirrel. That's why.
Oh, you know what? That was David. That was not me. He took my picks to heart. I don't know what's wrong with him.
That's funny. All right, man. Yeah. Let's move on here.
Oh, you know what? Other announcements.
Go ahead, Robert. Yeah, what else did they announce, man?
Black Ops 1111.
That's actually the next topic.
It's reconfirmed October 16th before Red Dead 2.
But they didn't for the Switch. If we're still talking about the Nintendo, they didn't.
They might save it for an E3 announcement, but right now it's just PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Mm. And the teaser trailer is suggesting we're going to get zombies again. The story's going to continue from the first two Black Ops games. You know, it's everything that Treyarch kind of promised us should happen to Black Ops 3, but it's happening on Black Ops 4. So, you know.
But Treyarch always does line. Did you see the last line in that?
What did it say?
Get everything you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I've already forgotten.
Everything is going to be.
I've already forgotten. Hi,
there you go. There you go.
Who am I?
There you go. Bob from accounting.
You're Bob from accounting.
Don't, anyway, but you get my point. But the way they're doing it, it's drawing some controversy. If you take a look at the logo, it doesn't say IV, it says I, and people are like, well, I guess it's Final Fantasy I, or whatever. They're making all these jokes and everything like that. But I mean, we saw that emblem, that dude from the Houston Rockets, he was wearing a hat with it.
Yeah.
He spoiled it pretty much, but. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good looking logo, but some people are just complaining it should have been. I mean, we did like a Google search for Star Trek 4 and it came up Star Trek 14. So who the hell knows?
Shit. Well, I remember them explaining that basically it's not numbers, it's like dashes. You know how?
They're like a ranking or whatever.
It's a soldier's rank. It's not Roman numerals.
No,
like, that's what everybody's assuming. It should be IV, like a Roman, like.
Nope.
It's not. So I mean, but some people are freaking out on the internet and they're making fun of it. Well, of course. Yeah.
It's the internet, Robert. Tony said he's getting in on this one because this is the one that does the 4-player co-op.
Yeah.
So Tony said he's down. So
I didn't make that promise.
Wait, Tony, Adam, I'm sure we have witnesses that will insist otherwise. Yes.
Adam, you said 4-player co-op.
Yeah. That's all the Black Ops.
I'll play that.
And not only that, but your stats carry over to multiplayer. So everything that you're ranking up carries over into multiplayer.
That's a little different.
So if you end at like level 13, well, when we do multiplayer stuff, you're level 13.
Okay, that's actually good. I have to reconsider that.
Man, it's awesome.
Your loot boxes also carry over from the single player?
They don't work that way with
those. So Tony,
goddamn loot boxes.
Tony's playing Black Ops 4 and Sea of Thieves. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's because you're suckering me into Sea of Thieves, man. That's why.
We'll see, man. We have to wait for what people are saying about that game, man. I don't want to spend $60 on a game and no one's gonna.
We could just do that trial. I mean, within a day or two, we could realize if we want to play it or not, like long term, and then we could just cancel it.
Yeah, but I'm not subscribing to Game Pass though.
No, you don't. They give you one. What is it, 2 weeks free or something like that?
Yeah, I get a coupon here for a 2 week free one. That's how I'm gonna do it.
I'm giving you 2 weeks free to play.
You don't need.
Sucker, I approve of 2 weeks.
you don't need 2 weeks to realize if you want to play a game for a long period of time. You can figure that shit out in an hour. Nope.
Yeah, that is true.
I don't know. I like the alphas, so we'll see.
Just a quick little side note: Captain Toad's on pre-order for $40, so I'm just happy that it's not $60.
Well, yeah, they learned a lesson good. Because.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about since we're talking about the whole Switch and that happened during earlier this week? The fact that now you could redeem your points on their website.
Yes.
All those points you can redeem to actually do. I tried it. It's only giving me like $3, and I have like, what was it, 1,100 points.
Well, they said it's like you get $1 for every
penny.
Penny for every gold coin or whatever it is. I mean, it's still a good system if you have like about 800 coins or whatever, because you still got $8. You know, it's not the end of the world. Build up purchases.
I like the way he goes, and the thing is like, did you hear that you can redeem your coins? I'm like, you know, you guys should have been doing that maybe for, I don't know, the last 30 years when you had that damn thing open.
Man, I like. Well, they did it for the other stuff. I had it for the 3DS. I got all kinds of free games. I got my Metroid. I got my Mike Tyson's Punch-Out free and one other game. So it said coming soon on the Switch site for the games. That's all it said.
Manny, by the way, I like the fact that you sounded dubbed when you did that voice. Did you know that you can redeem your...
Well, that's what he sounds like. That's exactly what the voiceover sounds like. Did you know that you can get this done in the other day? I was like, what?
Seriously, you should just go to PAX East and talk with that accent. Hello.
Hello.
I am here for an appointment at 8 o'clock a.m. I'm here to see this great game. Can you tell me more about this great game?
Can you tell me more?
Hello. Hello, Tony. Yep. Let me knock you down some stairs.
Yeah, right. Let me throw you down some stairs.
Ooh, that looks like it hurt.
Hello.
Oh, off to get
Hello,
pizza.
Mr. Secker. Hello, Mr. Secker. I would like to do an interview with you.
By the way, OBJ in the chat says that we should game pass Sea of Thieves. He goes, trust me, you don't want to spend $60 on it. OBJ, did you play it, son?
Oh, man. See, that's the thing. Some of these games aren't living up to the hype. I'm hearing bad things about Burnout Paradise Remastered.
What?
Because the trials on EA Access, they said it looks like the Xbox 360 version for Xbox One S ports.
Yeah. Well, not to, to my own horn, but your boy actually got a game code for the game. So I shall.
Yes, so did I. Myself. I'm going to try it tonight and I'll see it for myself. But yeah. I've been
you got the Xbox One.
But it's code. The internet, so F it.
You got it for Xbox, right, Robert? Because that's what it
gave me. I'm totally going to destroy you on Xbox.
Yeah.
I'm going to destroy you.
We're insane. So anyway, Call of Duty. Is there anything really to get excited about this? You know me; I don't really care about this franchise.
Call of Duty,
Black Ops. If they go back to the original storylines of 1 and 2, because 3 was just like, woof, you know, it was over the top. It tried to go with the high tech, and it went in a different direction.
Yeah, I think this is a return to form. I think that's what they were trying to do, and I'm excited for it because, well, you know, it's not Infinite Warfare, so I'm good.
Well, they also sent out a letter to their shareholders saying that this was going to revolutionize the entire series and bring something completely new. And I'm like, what could they bring that's completely new? You know what I mean?
That sounds like a bunch of horse shit to me.
Well, who knows? I mean, but they're sending this to their shareholders. They really don't want to blow smoke up their asses because they get called out on.
Wait, I've got it. Everybody's going backwards.
Yeah, this is backwards, right? They shoot backwards.
I'll shoot you in the other go around.
Dude, I mean, I just heard it. I don't know.
I mean, but then they show the trailer with all the Black Ops 1 and 2 clips.
Unless we're playing as the villain the whole time.
That could be interesting.
You know, or at least some... Because remember Black Ops, you would jump around, right? You would jump from one person to another soldier. What if we're playing as a villain? Or we're playing... Well, we did the female thing in World War III. I mean, 2. They just did a female one for the Resistance, the French.
Viva la Resistance.
It can't be that.
I'm sure they'll figure out something.
It's got to be... Just that alone got me hyped because I'm like, all right, they got to do something.
And
the other thing is, and this is what I get pissed because I had somebody at work with some man, they come out with one every year. No, it's like actually every 3 years because there's all these other teams working. Yep. So they actually have time to develop. It's not like what happened with Assassin's Creed and shit like that. None of the teams really had enough time. All these teams have time.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And of course, whatever the end product is, it's going to piss off Donald Trump. So it's all.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
But he was a big Call of Duty fan. I don't know what happened. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather not talk about that second shit.
Did any news come out from that meeting?
I read the notes. It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you had the ESA saying all these studies are indicating that video game violence and real world violence are tied. And then parents, teacher council, like, oh, you're a liar, you know, and whatever. And, you know, like Trump showed this video there. It's actually on YouTube. They showed this video of all these violent games in 45 seconds. They didn't show anything else but the mature rated violent games because they thought, oh, well, that's going to get the point across. instead of showing, I don't know, something from Mario Kart or Splatoon.
But you just said it. It's mature rated. They're mature rated. These aren't for little kids.
Exactly. Kids aren't buying them because of the ESRB, who was also in attendance.
He didn't even know there was a rating system. He brought that up before.
Yeah,
he was
like, they should put a rating system on somebody.
Well, he's stupid. What do you expect? Yeah, so, I mean, nothing came out of the meeting today. They said they might look in the future, but seriously, Trump just, I don't think he did anything. To be honest, of course, that's his credo. Yeah.
It was just another smoke screen.
So, yeah, I mean, that's depressing. We should get back to stuff that's not depressing.
So Black Ops got announced to launch before Red Dead 2.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's very interesting.
10-day window. It's trying to avoid Rockstar's
wrath. Everybody is.
Battlefield will probably come out December.
Think about it like this, though. Usually people try to avoid Call of Duty. Now Call of Duty is trying to avoid somebody else. Very interesting.
Because Rockstar is the hot shit.
Everybody wants Red Dead like crazy. And considering how well Grand Theft Auto sold, they know like Rockstar can do no wrong at this point. So, and if it does have that Battle Royale mode I've been hearing about, that's going to get that audience sold as well.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, you know, everybody's getting out of Fortnite's way, and Fortnite's like, well, fuck you, we're coming to mobile too. So, hey, you're all doomed.
Now, is it true that like mobile game players for Fortnite could also play with PS4 players and PC players?
Cross-play, they said.
But a certain demographic got left out of that one.
I know, but not Xbox One. I mean, Xbox One's out, but as far as I know, I mean, just you'll be able to play smoothly across mobile and console, which is kind of something. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, but basically, you know, I heard some Xbox guys, they're mad that they can't play with everybody else, you know?
Epic just has to figure out a solution. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's on Sony's end, though. They're like, yeah, we don't want to play nice with those guys. I don't know.
Of course they don't. I mean, same thing with Rocket League. You know, oh, wait, you have Xbox One and Switch support? Well, fuck no.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah.
I like their reasoning. Remember, we wanted to protect our network community and blah, 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 blah.
And then the outage goes out for 3 months.
You got to protect them from those venomous Nintendo players.
Yeah.
Coin collectors. Hey, remember what happened to me on Twitter a couple months ago? Those guys don't mess around with Nintendo guys, man. They're crazy. They're crazier than Xbox guys.
They hack your account, and then they put in Super Mario Odyssey. Buy it now.
Yeah, I wish they could do that with me to just try to get me fired. True story. It's crazy, man. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on to another story here. This is one I threw this in here just for Adam. I know he's hyped as a motherfucker right now. The Division 2 got announced, man.
Division 2.
So,
oh man, well, it's not even just a Division 2, it's what they announced leading up to Division 2. You know, the fact that we have two big updates coming, right? We have one in April and one in June. The one in April is going to offer something that a lot of games never seem to do, but this is a thank you for just giving a great year. A lot of great weapons, exotics, and stuff like that. Usually, you had to go into Dark Zone to get, they're going to start incorporating that into the open world. You know, so you could kill a boss, it's a good chance. I forgot the percentage. It was like a 6% from a 2% to a 6%. Then there was for like a 6% to a 10%, depending on the different tiers and stuff. But hey, for those who hate the Dark Zone, I'm like, damn, I wanted those weapons, that gear, whatever, that you could only get in a Dark Zone after April. Boom, don't worry about it. You can now do that within the world. All right, that's great. A lot of games don't do that. They'll do like double XPs and all that other crap. You know, but when it comes to getting the gear, and then for June, they said that they were going to incorporate a thing called shields, which is reward items that you'll be able to unlock. But those items are unlockable already for Division 2. So you're getting new stuff within Division 1 that carries over into Division 2, which is great.
That sounds like it makes sense. What is this world? What are we doing? You know?
So I'm like, that is really cool.
All the loot that you received from a previous title carries over? What kind of dimension are we living in?
Wait, who decided this? This is Ubisoft.
Ubisoft is on a next level with all this shit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Ubisoft is master of the delayed hit, a sleeper hit. That's that's what they've mastered.
You know what it is? You know what it is with them? And we've seen it with other titles, you know? It's that they put in the time. They listen to the community. A lot of these developers, you know, we're listening, and they don't fix shit. They listen, and they keep adding and adding. I mean, the 1.8 packs that came out for recent for the Division has all this new shit. You have PvP, you have non-PvP, you have another shipyard area for the West Side Highway. They have, I mean, there's so much content that they added. And we see that with For Honor, you know, they keep doing that. Nobody liked that shit, but that was, it turned out to be a big hit. A lot of people playing it, you know, and even for the Division last week, what they announced, they had like 20 million people playing that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't forget Rainbow Six Siege, another one.
Of course, that was
and For Honor.
It's crazy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they don't give up. They're like, you know what? Well, listen, we've invested this much money. We can invest some more time to hear you out and fix and add things. What you want this and that? Okay, boom, we'll add that. You want that type of mode in? No worry, we got you. We'll add it. We're not even going to charge you for it. We're putting it in, and you keep doing that. Word spreads. People tell their buddies. Next, you know, people log in and they see four or five of their friends all playing a certain game. And they're like, damn, I don't know. Maybe it's, yo, guess what? It's on sale. Because, you know, it's almost every month an Ubisoft game is on sale. You know, you'll see it in the top 10 for, you know, downloads of the month. Why is that? Because it's always on sale. Rainbow Six, I think Siege is on sale this month. It's always on sale. You know, so then people start picking it up and then they start playing. You know, and then it's a snowball effect. But you get the whole mentality and the whole understanding that Ubisoft is just investing in their product. They're like, we're not just spitting shit out for the sake of spitting it out. We're going to spit it out and we're going to make it awesome. And it's going to carry over time. And you're going to see this company completely different compared to the others. And I know I do. Now, when I see an Ubisoft game come out, I'm instantly thinking, that's quality. That's going
to be quality. And I'll tell you. One title to bring up there, sorry to interrupt, Far Cry 5. I went and actually saw this in an event and everything. And, the core game itself is going to take a while to get through because you basically have to go through this whole state, taking out all these weird cult people and everything like that. And trying to
essentially Far Cry Deliverance?
Yeah, something like that. But there's the extras on top of that. The season pass is packed with what? Zombies and aliens and Far Cry 3, for that matter. And then they have this mode called Arcade, where you can build your own levels and everything and then challenge others or have others join you and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're building like a huge community hub around that. And based on what I've seen so far, it's immense. You know, if all the other Far Cry games had a robust arcade mode like this one, they have small arcade modes, but this one's huge, connected, community driven. They're building their games to last. It's pretty impressive how they're doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm. With so many of these type of games. I mean,
yeah, I know.
It's hard enough to do one massive open world sandbox, and then they have what? Wildlands?
Yeah, Wildlands is another one.
Oh, you know? Wildlands is another one. And,
you know what I mean? They have so many of these open world games, and they just, don't worry, we got you. We can keep doing this. I was like, all right.
And they're not, I mean, I understand they might announce a new Assassin's Creed, but it won't be till 2019.
Good.
So they're going to give Origins some longevity, which is good.
There you go.
Add more stuff to that because Origins is badass.
Yeah, man. Discovery Tour is really good if you guys haven't tried that out yet. Excellent stuff, man.
Yeah.
Ubisoft, Adam, they could do all this shit because they have the money to, man. Because they make so much of it, you know?
Well, that's it. But, I mean, that might not be the case if they just let these games go like many other publishers where they're like, we fucked up. We'll just make another one, you know? And they don't. They keep going, and then people keep buying it. And it's still relevant.
Yeah, but I don't think they're following EA's mistakes. I think a lot of people are learning that, you know, this whole loot box system is screwed. It is because, you know, it costs Battlefront 2 a shit ton of money. And a lot of people see that. I mean, I've even heard like Disney wants to shop around the license to Activision and Ubisoft to see what their Star Wars ideas are. Cause they could take the license at any time. You know, so I mean, EA is probably scrambling at this point to keep those guys around, and who knows, maybe EA will announce shit like SSX and NBA Street and stuff that'll bring us back. I mean, they kind of have to, seriously, because right now they're struggling. I'm not buying NBA Live 8-19. Where the fuck? Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Oh, and then also one of the cool things with the new Division, it's going to be on an updated version of their Snowdrop engine. Hmm. So it's not just going to be, oh, we have that engine and a map and everything, so we're just going to build on top of that. It's pretty much a new one. They're calling it Snowdrop 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Some people are saying they don't want the Division 2 to follow in the same footsteps as Destiny 2.
Well, that's their fear. Yeah, I don't think so. No. My thing is, the only thing I sort of hope for and is that they expand. If you're fine, they had all of Manhattan or somewhat of their version of Manhattan, but going to Brooklyn, going to Queens, do the outer boroughs, add some vehicles, do that type of stuff. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have to go somewhere completely different.
I wonder if they're going to Jersey.
We're putting you in the middle of Iowa. Deal with it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, hey, Adam, that's where you are right now, in the middle of Iowa.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. After playing the first division, I don't know about this game, man. You know,
I feel like it's not a grind.
I don't understand it. When we were playing, you were like, I love this shit.
It was fun. It was fun for 2 weeks, and it got boring. You know,
you walked away.
You have to because it got boring. No. I did the same thing with Destiny. I was on Destiny like crack for a month, and then I dropped that shit.
A bunch of stuff. It's like completely different now.
I heard the same shit with Destiny. They're like, oh, it's different now, man. I went back to the same shit.
Here's the thing. Like with I feel like Ubisoft has the luxury of seeing what happened with Destiny. I don't think they're going to pull the same shit as Destiny, essentially killing everything that everybody enjoyed about the original game and just essentially being, okay, we're going to fix it later. It's like, no, put all the shit that you had in there from before and then add some shit. That's what everybody wants. Now, they don't want to be starting all over again, you know, with back to zero.
I mean, it was like so weird. Like the littlest things that people were like, hey, you know, I would like to trade items with my friend. Don't worry, we're going to put that in the patch. Next, you know, boom, you could trade items with your friends. You know what I mean? It's like they just constantly listened. You know, whenever you had an issue, they're like, oh, we're going to do that. Oh, you got a balancing issue with a certain weapon? We'll fix that next patch.
You should see their team for Rainbow Six Siege. Hardcore. Like they listen to all suggestions. They make all the different tweaks and everything like that. And they introduce content that actually keeps the game interesting. I mean, their teams are on fire when it comes to keeping these games consistent.
Yeah, other companies should actually learn from them, you know, EA.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they're paying attention now because they're seeing that, while all their games are dropping in and playability and people just moving away, and they see that what's happening in Ubisoft and these titles are like 3, 4, 5 years old and still relevant, people still playing them and talking about them. Yeah, I'm sure somebody's taking a look around.
Hell, I still enjoy Watch Dogs too. That game's still fun as shit.
That's a good game, man.
Mm-hmm, it's really good. And I can't wait for The Crew too. You know, like The Crew 1, it was fun to like a certain level, I think, but it got a little old with the missions. Crew 2 looks like, hey, we're going to put you in a plane. Ah, fuck it. Get in the motorcycle. Nope, going to a sports car. Okay, I'm in. You know, that sort of deal. So I still need some more of an action before I played so far. It's got some promise, a lot more promise than the first.
Yeah, and if, you know, things keep going the way they're going for Ubisoft, that's probably going to be one of those games that comes out, you know, makes a little bit of a splash when it comes out, then nobody talks about it, but underneath, it makes a shit ton of money. You know, when I heard that For Honor had 7 million players, I'm like, what the fuck? Dude, no one talks about that game.
You need to look at Rocksmith. Rocksmith's been around for years.
Yeah, that's
nobody's
right.
Nobody's talked about it or anything but their DLC is making a shit ton of money, so they can continue supporting it, you know? So
that's the one that you could really learn how to play guitar.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually kind of cool, too. I can't play with the damn, but it's still a great game.
Yeah, I thought about that a while ago.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, our buddy Jeffrey Wilson, he's learning how to play bass from that game, you know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy, man. So this is why games are becoming games as a service, because there's so much money to be had, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a matter of giving the gamers what they want. I mean, EA didn't listen at all with Battlefront 2. They put in a single-player mode. Yeah, that's fine. That's what they wanted. But by the same token, they also tried to load up on other ways to make money to the point that it almost hindered the experience. If Disney didn't step in and say, hey, quit fucking around, you know, EA would have gotten away with that and the game would have completely tanked.
Yeah, man. EA fucked up. I think you're right, man. They're going to give that license to somebody else, man.
I want to see what Ubisoft does with it. Hell, maybe they'll bring back Visceral Games Vision or 1313. Shit, give me 1313.
Why don't they just bring back fucking LucasArts and stop fucking around with this bullshit?
Seriously,
man.
Oh, and you know, while you're at it, bring back Factor 5 and the Rogue Squadron games.
Yeah,
there you go. Man, by the way, now I'm thinking about, imagine Star Wars under Ubisoft. They'd make so much fucking money.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Disney is giving that heavy consideration.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it's part of the contract. It's like, if your game doesn't produce X amount of dollars, we have the right to pull that.
Or if there's heavy negative.
Yeah.
Or if there's heavy negativity.
Yeah, that's right.
What was it? It was like a 5-year, 10-year contract. It's some ridiculous multi-year deal that they have with EA. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there has to be a clause out of it. Well,
the whole Visceral Games closing thing probably pissed a lot of people off.
I'm sure there's a clause for damaging the brand.
I mean, the fact that Visceral Games project got shut down the way it did to become an online multiplayer thing is friggin' bullshit. Because it sounded like Visceral Games was trying to bring back that LucasArts vibe with their adventure.
And yeah, well, they were trying to make an adventure within the Star Wars universe.
Exactly, you know? With the writer of Uncharted. How did you go wrong?
They fucked up.
Yep, they did. So I would not be surprised if they lost the license, because that is a big fuck up.
Yeah, that might be the best thing, to be honest, you know? Because no one's going to repeat what EA did, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we kind of went off topic.
Sorry. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, we're at the end of the show, so whatever. But anyway, Robert, man, I want to thank you for being on with us. As always, man, please plug your stuff, man. Where can people find you?
You can find me at twitter.com/thedcd. You can find my work at comicbook.com/gaming. And you can also find the ARG podcast, which I co-host along with my buddy David Giltinen, over at retrozap.com. Our episode 100 will release shortly. You already know the results, but listen anyway, because it's a fun battle. Tony's on there along with our buddies Nick Castro and Andre Tipton. Again, retrozap.com, and we hope to be around for another 100 episodes. Tony won't be back because he'll be knocked down the stairs.
Yes. And in 2000, by the 200th episode, we'll actually talk about actual retro games. Like, we'll talk about Split. We'll talk about Blur, you know?
I've had a busy week. Leave me alone.
Man, I give you jazz because I love you, man.
I know. You owe me 6-pack now.
Yes. All right, man. So,
I'll say it like this. You owe me a 6-pack now.
You owe me a 6-pack now. Oh no, is that Godzilla?
Oh no, run.
Oh god. All right, man. So thank you guys for watching and listening. Subscribe and throw down on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sakurai says.
See you later.
Chris Seeley.
Everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Yo, Zoro might be on Soul Calibur 6. So there's a rumor going on. Hopefully that's true.
Oh, please and thank you.
Laters, everyone.
Brett Murdoch.
What a world we live in.
Adam Vale.
Yeah, have a good night and see you wrestling guys tomorrow for Friday Night WrestleCast. Boop, 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 boop.
Mr. Brian, who didn't say a word of this podcast.
Damn it, Tony, you ruined my outro. I said nothing this episode.
And of course, Mr. Robert Workman.
Mario, smash.
Perfect. All right, we'll see you guys on Sunday, man. Later.
Later, guys.
See ya.
Check right.